Lord. Amen. Where would we be?
Amen.
If it wasn't for the love of God. Amen. That's very fitting with the service that I have before me this morning. And I've got a warning to give you. This one's going to burn. It's going to hit from the pulpit to the back door. And I told somebody the other day, I said, they said something that reminded me of what I was preaching. I said, yeah, I said, I'm going to be preaching on myself Sunday. And they said, you won't be the only one. And so, amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask, dear God, for your guidance now, Father, in this portion of the service. Lord, I pray, God, you'll come and speak to us in a mighty way, dear God. Stir us up, stir up our hearts, dear Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you will quicken this word to us this morning, we pray. And we ask for those, Lord, that weren't able to be here this morning, dear God, and those that we know will be listening, Father, to the services online, Lord, that you'll bless them as well and speak to them, move in their midst in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. July 16th and 20th, that's next Sunday and Thursday. This Thursday, Brother Phil will be speaking. But next Sunday and the next Thursday, Brother Phil and I both are going to be out of town. And I'd had a brother scheduled to come in, and something came up, and he's not going to be able to come. And I checked around other places, and I wasn't able to get anybody to come and fill in. So we're going to have to cancel the service for the 16th and the 20th. You can, if you want, you can tune in to bswt.org online and hear me. During those services, and you might rehear some of the stuff you've heard here, and that's what we do a lot of times. We preach things we've already preached, and the Lord just changed it and add some more things in there. And you know, that's why sometimes when we're studying on a certain line, we've got several messages that Brother Branham preached on the same subject, but he said different things at each different place. And we draw from all of it. And so, amen. I wanted to make those announcements. And then Brother Phil will be here for the other services that I'll be out of town. The 23rd, and the 27th, Brother Phil will be here. So turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. I'm gonna take my title this morning from the very first sentence in this verse. Verse 1, Numbers 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. You may be seated. And when the people complained, Israel, coming out of Egypt is what this is, text is from. And you know, when Israel was journeying through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, the one thing that they were consistent with was complaining. Every step of the way, they complained. Remember, their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. Now, That's scientifically impossible. They were 40 years and their shoes never wore out and their clothes never wore out. Friends, I got pants at home that can't make it past a year or two. Clothes never wore out, shoes never wore out. They were always taken care of. Every hard circumstance that came up, there was always a solution. Every need that came up, there was always a God there to come and meet the need. And yet they still found things to complain about. They had a message of the hour of deliverance that brought them out of bondage, cruel bondage. They got even worse before they were brought out. They got a God that kept them through all the plagues that hit Egypt. And yet they still found things to complain about. You know what it seems like? It seems like they were an ungrateful people. They weren't thankful for the things that God was doing for them. The very first place they came down to was Morah. And in Morah, the water was bitter. And what did they do? They complained. The water's bitter. You brought us out of Egypt, now we got bitter water. You know, I think if they'd have had Cadillacs with air conditionings, they would have complained. Because people got it today, and they still complain. We got it pretty good today, and we still find things to complain about. We still find things to bellyache about. It's like God can never do good enough. God fed them with manna out of heaven. Angels' food. The food that angels eat. And it came down fresh every morning. And they got tired of it. And the Bible said that they took and they ground it in meals to make something different out of it. And it says they beat it in a mortar. And they baked it in pans. And they made cakes of it. And they made bread of it. And they made different things of it. Years ago when I was a teenager, I heard a song that was about this. And in the song, it was talking about all the different things they potentially might have made out of manna. Angels' food. And they still complained about it. They were eating the same things as angels. God was giving it to them fresh every morning. All they had to do was go out and gather it. They didn't have to hunt. They didn't have to plant or sow. They didn't have to hoe. They didn't have to plow. They didn't even have the curse that Adam had when he said, you're going to sow in the heat of the day and thistles and thorns, it's going to yield you. They were given free bread. And it wasn't good enough. And they said, we don't have any meat. We don't have any garlic. We don't have any seasonings. Where's the Mrs. Dash? God said, you want meat? The Bible says they wept and their weeping came into the ears of the Lord, and his anger was kindled against them because of it. And God got angry and he said, you want flesh? Fine, I'll give you flesh. But I won't give it to you just for a day or 2 days or even 20 days. He said, I'm going to give it to you until it comes out your nostrils. That's exactly what God said. He was using like some of our kind of slang and maybe things that we've said to our children. I'm going to give it to you until it comes out your nose. Now, you know that's physically almost impossible for you to eat so much that it would come out your nose. But it was an expression. God was using it. And here's what he went on to explain. He says, I'm going to give it to you until it becomes loathsome to you. Until, not just till you get tired of it. You know, I'm a kind of person that I the way I eat and things, I'll get on a kick. And I'll eat one certain thing and I'll just keep eating that one certain thing till I get tired of it. And then I'll move on to something else. But he didn't say you're going to get tired of it. He said you're going to hate, you end up hating this stuff. And guess what? When they got when it became loathsome to them, guess what was on the menu for the next day? More meat. Brother Branham said, God, they came out with a promise. He said, poor Moses, it was a dreadful time for him. He said, you see, he had come down in Egypt and brought the children out according to the promise of God and was leading them to a promised land flowing with milk and honey, with the promise of God to protect them and supply everything they had need of until they reached this glorious land flowing with milk and honey. God had promised to supply all their needs, but their carnal mind had taken them out of the divine will of God and had given them a desert route. Their complaining took them out of the divine will of God. He said, that's what we got a whole lot of today. That's what's the matter with many of our churches. They've because of their carnal minds, they've cut off the supplies of God's blessings of healing and power and baptism of the Holy Ghost and have took a desert route. They have arguings and fusses and stews and complaints. But those who are still remaining in the way, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory with God, with this pillar of fire over them, with power and with joy and signs and wonders. We complain. There's not a one of us here that hasn't been guilty of complaining. God supplies our needs just like he did theirs. And we complain about it. Oh, we don't say, well, God, I'm tired of you supplying my needs. No, it just ain't good enough. We're always wanting more. He didn't promise to supply your wants. He promised to supply your needs. And if he's meeting your needs, quit belly aching about our wants. Brother Branham, in this same message, this message that I just reading out of was speak to the rock and it shall give forth his water. Brother Branham preached on speak to the rock several times. And you know, what the message was about was they come down to a place where there wasn't, Israel came down to a place where there wasn't any water. And every time something happened, instead of them saying, look, God's always took care of us. I don't know what he's going to do this time, but we ain't got any water, but he'll do something. But instead they complained about it. And continues, can you imagine being in Moses' shoes? Every time he turned around, they were saying, we hate that you brought us out of Egypt. We wish we were back there. We had garlic and we had all these different things. Man, who in the world is going to bellyache over not having enough garlic? But what it was they were saying, our food's bland. We don't got enough seasoning. We need some Worcestershire sauce. You know, my dad, he grew up poor. And he said most of the time, and I've told you this before, most of the time what they ate was pinto beans and fried potatoes. Pinto beans was their protein. And if they got meat at all, it was chicken on Sunday. And they didn't get their choice of the chicken, the kids. They got whatever else nobody else was eating. And you know, because my dad was raised that way, when he moved us out of West Virginia, moved us up to Ohio, and was working in different factories. And my mom had to work too. Both of them were working. Most of the time I came home from school, nobody was home. I come in, unlock the door, and let myself in. I carried a key. It was a key anybody could go down to the local hardware store and buy, old skeleton key. And I spent, I don't know, an hour or so at home by myself before my mom got home from work. Mom worked days and Dad worked nights just so somebody could be at the house with me most times. Them working, one working days, one working nights, they didn't see each other except on the weekends. And you know, I don't ever remember my dad complaining. Because he done so much without. He tried to, you know, for 13 years I was the only child. He tried to give me everything that he could think of that he could give me. But I remember times not being without the way my dad was. But I can remember times when it was hard times when I was a kid. Not as hard as my dad had. But I can remember times of being without. I was before preschool age, and there was these little pops I liked. They were called Little Toms. They come in a little bottle. I like that. And they were flavored. And we couldn't afford to get any. So my mom made some Kool-Aid and poured it in one of those bottles and gave it to me. And she said, I said, this ain't Little Tom. But I can remember my dad working two jobs. And he worked on the weekends. Worked at a gas station. There was one time he was working at a gas station on the weekends. And I would go to the gas station with him, and I'd spend the day with him at the gas station working. And what I did was, you know, they filled up the gas back then, checked your oil and all that kind of stuff, and cleaned your windshield and everything, you know. And what I did was, it depending on how much gas they bought, they would get so many green stamps. And they'd take these green stamps and they'd paste them in a book, and after they got a book filled up, then they could buy something with it. And so I passed out the green stamps. And I had a little packed lunch just like my dad. I remember eating Spam. I can remember times then when my dad started pastoring and we were raising our own garden and things, you know, and then people the church up had a meeting one Sunday at somebody's house, and that was the end of it. Some decided they were going to go over to this other church because there was a new church opening up, built a brand new church. It's message stuff for people. And others was going over following some other doctrine. But in a matter of Sunday morning, we had church, and by Sunday evening, we got a call. We no longer had a church. And I can remember some tough, tight times. My dad had some health conditions at that point, and he couldn't go out and work a hard job like he used to. We done without. We raised and grew our own food, raised our own beef, and I don't remember any complaining. So what in the world happened to me? Why do I complain now? Remember when I first moved down here? Friends, I can remember when what was on the menu was ramen, because that's what I could afford. And I taught my kids all different ways that I'd learned in the military how to make them things taste different. And I wasn't complaining then. God's always supplied my needs. He's always took care of me. So here, a couple of weeks ago, when I found myself in a mess and was complaining and was belly aching, and it went on for an entire day. And the thing about it is, if God laid this message on my heart, it's because I'm not the only one that this has ever happened to. And to borrow an old expression, when it comes right down to it, and I look at all God's given me and how he's blessed me, I couldn't kick if I was a mule in a tin barn. Brother Branham said, I don't see why people complain so much because of the way I preach. I understand that. He said, people say I preach too hard. He said, all I'm trying to do, he says, is I'm trying to make the people straighten up and tell them the way they're living and the way they're dressing and tell them that, and they tell me I'm hurting my ministry by preaching that. I'm just trying to get them right, what he said. And they're complaining about it. Do you know, Brother Branham also, when I found, Brother Branham mentioned, he was talking about the discernment that he did in the services. And people begin to complain because they said, you're not praying for enough people. And Brother Branham said, my prayer lines are longer than any minister on the field. And they're still complaining that I'm not getting to pray for enough people because of discernment and all. My goodness, the power of God moving in their midst. And they were complaining about it. You ain't doing it our way, God. Brother Branham prayed for people in services. If you ever heard his life story in that, where he prayed to where he actually was up there without food and without drinking anything and was ready to pass out. And people complain, you're not praying for enough. God sent them an end time prophet and they complained. You preach too hard. You don't pray for enough people. You're too hard on the women. Pillar of fire come down and appeared before the people. Hadn't been heard of since the time of Paul. And they complained. People being healed, people being brought back to life, people coming up off their cots, and they people complained. Brother Branham said, Israel, all the great signs that followed that message, and in the wilderness they complained until they died by the thousands. He said, frankly, there wasn't but two of them that was left that ever went over into the promised land out of that first original bunch. Their children that were born out in the wilderness in the way, they end up going over into the promised land. But out of the original bunch that came out of Egypt, only two crossed over. Brother Ram said, you say, what happened to them? He said, they're everyone eternally gone. He said, how can you say that? He said, because the priests and Pharisees in the days of Jesus said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness and drank water from a rock. And Jesus said, and they're everyone dead. Brother Ram said, ministers, don't be discouraged. Remember them murmurs. Not one of them ever hit the other land, not one of them. But they murmured and complained. They had left garlic pots of Egypt and were eating angels' food and complaining about it. Seeing all the miracles and things that God did for them, and they still grumbled and complained. Look at what all God's done for us. Look, it isn't because of me. I've just been here while God did it. Yes, God sent me, and God spoke to me, through me. But that's simply because I yielded myself to God. It ain't been me that's done what's been done here. It's been God. But this church isn't what it was when I first came here. I can remember the first service I ever came here and preached. I just come in as a visiting minister. And I preached the Sunday morning service, went out to eat with some of y'all. And then I came back to preach on Sunday night, and I sat in the office, was over there back then. And I sat over there in that office, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this is the church I've been telling you about, I'm sending you to. And you know what I said? Oh, Lord, no, please not. I said, Lord, this is the most depressing church I've ever visited in my life. And it was true. I'd preached in a lot of churches, but boy, this was depressing. But look what all God's done. It's not a depressing place anymore. I don't know how many of y'all remember the couple that come and visited here just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They sat back there about a pew ahead of Brother Jim and Sister Joyce. They were from Knoxville. His dad, his last name is Swink, and his dad was a pastor over in Arkansas, a new brother, Don Osborne. And his dad passed away. and they had since moved to Knoxville, and they've been looking for a church to go to. And he said they've been listening to different ones online. He said, and they've been listening to our services for the last 6 months. And he's told me, standing out there that Sunday, he says, we want to make this our home church. And they'll come on the services, they can come, and when they won't, they'll stream online or listen to it online. Hopefully someday soon we'll be able to stream. That was encouraging. I think of all the different ones, some of them aren't able to be here this morning, but the different ones that the Lord has brought in. Brother Caleb was brought in through witnessing to at work. From the other ones, the other new ones that start coming. Brother Caleb told me, he said, I've been looking for a church where they would actually preach out of the Bible. All the miracles God done, Brother Branham said, for Israel, and they grumbled and complained. Till one day, God said, I'm going to take the whole bunch and kill every one of them. And you know what Moses did? Moses stood in the breach. Look, friends, think about this now. A lot of the complaining was directed at Moses. And when God said, step aside, I'll raise you up a new people. We'll just kill this bunch of ungrateful people. Moses said, no, don't do it. Moses stuck up for them. Moses had put up with them. He had put up with all their complaining. He had put up with all their bickering. They got down there and, you know, and then all of a sudden, one of them raised up by the name of Korah and said, do you think you're the only holy one? He said, God moves amongst all of us. We're all holy. Why do you lift yourself up above us? And you know what God did? Moses said, God's going to do a new thing. God opened up the earth and swallowed them. And closed the earth back. The earth just opened up and ate them. Moses actually said, all right, God's going to do a new thing and we'll see who's holy. Moses stuck up to him, for him. Brother Branham said, they complained and murmured, he said, till they deserved to die. Brother Branham said, you know, he said, I read something once that said, I complained about having no shoes until I saw a man that had no feet. He said, you look around. There's always someone who's worse off than you. Well, I tell you what, when I read this the other day, when I was studying and I read this, man, I tell you, it burnt me bad. When I thought of things that I had been belly aching about, and then I thought of the places that I've been, homes I have sat in where people didn't hardly have nothing. I've sat in homes, friends, where you could look over at the wall and see outside through the cracks between the boards. Their windows was holes in the wall. Just a hole they cut out. And then they made shutters that they could close at night. They didn't have no glass. Here we are sitting around with double-paned windows to insulate from the heat and the cold. The year Brother Phil and I went, this has been several years back, Brother Phil and I went to the Philippines together. And it was on a Sunday, and they sent Brother Phil to preach at some church down on the river. I was preaching somewhere else. And they took him down to preach some church that was on the river. Brother Phil saw a rat almost as big as a cat run through across the church. And them people just sitting there just pulling and feasting on the word that he was preaching. I'll tell you something. When you go and you see people that don't have it as good as you do, it does something to you. We can't complain about the God's give us a wonderful building. And yeah, there's upkeep on it. We had an issue Thursday where something went wrong with one of the air AC units outside, and it started calling for heat, and I don't know how long the heat had been on running, but it was near 90 degrees here in the sanctuary. So we got to replace the unit. So what? There's people who don't even have a unit to replace. I've preached in places, friends, where they didn't even have a fan to blow air across the sanctuary, and it hot. Over in the Philippines and down in Honduras and down in Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and different places that I've been. And you go, you know, when I went to preach, they try to give you the very best they can give you. I told you here the last service, one place I went, I was sitting out back behind their house. They didn't have a church building. But a brother had, we drove so far, and then we got there, and then we had to walk the rest of the way up the mountain to get to where these people lived. They didn't have any electricity. But one of the brothers with us had put a rug on his shoulder and packed a generator that the church in Ohio had bought him. And he packed that generator up the mountain. And they strung up some lights outside for the people. And I was sitting out behind the house, and there was chickens roosting in the tree we were sitting under. And I preached out there in their front of the house. I remember, you know, I was a lot more with motions back then. I was a lot younger. I remember raising up my hand, and there was a bug that was as long as my hand was on the back of it. I just shook it off and went on preaching. They didn't have no nursery to take their children to. They didn't even have a church building. They had been kicked out of the building they had. So they were just meeting outside. No complaining. The people rejoiced in the service. They were happy to hear the word of the Lord. I was, some years back, I was working as a manager in a retail store. And I had the opportunity to buy things that were put on clearance. It would come on clearance and I could snatch it up. And so I had two or three different VCRs. Y'all remember them things? And I had about three of them. I had one of them brand, well, it was been put on clearance, but it was brand new in the box. And my father-in-law said, hey, brother down in Honduras said, he's asking for prayer, said, he's got the film of 20th Century Problem, Deep Call to the Deep, but he's got no way to show it. Said, he's got it on VHS tape, but he's got no way to show it. He said, could you pray God will supply them the means to show it? I said, I'll be right back. I went down and got that brand new VCR in that box, brought it up and said, here, they don't got to pray about this no more. I'm going to supply it. And the church there in Ohio, that's where I was at the time, they had bought them this generator. The same brother that packed that generator up the mountain for me when I was down there that time. And they bought him a monitor. We got it down there to him. And he went up into this place called Los Pozos, which means the holes. And he went up there and he hooked up that generator and everything, and he went out and showed this film to the people that lived up there in that area. People, they just was farmers and different things, you know, living off the land and that. And they came out to watch this film. And when I went down there to visit 1995, rather, they took me up there to Los Pozos. And I got up there, and they didn't have no church building. And their house was out in the middle of a pasture. And the way you got in, it had barbed wire up around the pasture. And the way you got in, they didn't have a gate. What they'd done was they fixed the posts in the ground where the barbed wire come up around like this on two sides like that from one post over to two posts. And then there's a post come in this way, so you walked around and through there like that. It was too small for the cattle to get out. And we walked up in there, and I had got food poisoned the night before, and I was sick as could be. And I told him, I said, you just get me there. I don't care how sick I am, you get me there. I'll be all right when we get there. And we got up there and I stood on their back porch and preached to people that was out in this pasture as far as, you know, we had a lantern as far as the light could show the people was standing out in the darkness. Just standing out there. There wasn't no seats. And they stood out there in that pasture and listened to me preach. Then I had Brother Lissandro come up after I preached, you know, and he was able to make an altar call in Spanish. And that was in the place where they had showed the film. And people came out and were saved. Standing out there. And we've got nice pews to sit on, a nice building. At least we got an air conditioner. Something to set the temperature so it's comfortable in here. Friends, we got nothing to complain about. Sometimes we complain because we don't, you know, money situations. But we got it better than our fathers had it. We got indoor plumbing. We got toilet paper. not a Montgomery Ward catalog. Remember going up to visit my great-grandmother. She lived up in a holler called Pigeon Roost. And one of my cousins went with me up there. And we got up there and she said, Jerry, I got to go to the bathroom. And I said, all right. She said, you got to walk out there and stand with me. It was an outhouse. I said, you got to stand outside there. I said, all right. So I walked up there with her and she went in. I stood outside the door. After a little bit, she said, I can't find the toilet paper. And I said, you see that catalog laying in there? Didn't have running water. My dad growing up, the only running water they had was two buckets and two legs. They bailed water, put it in a wash tub, and everybody bathed in the same water. We got showers. We don't have to bathe in the same water as the person before us. What are we complaining about? God is supplying our needs. What are we complaining about? Some people complain about not having enough work, and yet they actually got plenty of work. They ain't wanting for anything. Brother Branham said, here's in the Message of Conferences, 1960. He was talking about when he grew up during the time of the World War. I guess he must have been talking about World War II. Of course, he would have been alive for both of them. But he talked about them not having any sugar. He said, and we complained about it. He said, we had to boil our water twice, and we complained about it. He said, we were complaining about everything we didn't have and the shortages of supplies. He said, and there was young men out there dying on the field for our liberty and freedom. He said, we seem to be more or less an ungrateful people for the things we do have. We don't put the valuation on the things we do have. One complaint after another Israel had. Think about it. Angels' bread, grumbled about it. Got meat, complained about it. We have too much meat now. We're sick of meat now. We ain't got no water. You know what God did? He had water come forth from a rock to give them water. Smite the rock and water come forth. That was the first time. Then they got down to a second time where they reached a place where there was no water. And you think they would have thought about, hey, God had water come out of a rock one other time we got in a situation like this. But no, they complained about it. You know what God did? He brought water from a rock again. Moses got so fed up with them that second time, he said, must I fetch water from a rock for you rebels? Branham said, talking about Korah and them, he said, they complained about God's provided way. God's provided way was through a man called Moses, and they complained about it. A one-man message, a prophet, a leader of one leadership of one man. The word came to Moses, and they complained about it. They complained and said, why can't God talk to us? Why has he just got to talk to you, Moses? Moses said, fine. God said, all right, I'll speak to everybody. And the skies grew dark, and the rocks on the mountain shook, and God's voice rumbled, and the people complained about it. No, don't let God speak to us no more. Brother Branham said, there's not a one of us but what has complained, and we're worthy of going to hell. We're not worthy of our healing. We're not worthy of our salvation. But in the midst of it all, the same God forgives us of our sins and our doubts. You realize where he put complaining? He put it as a sin. You know what sin is? Unbelief. When you complain because things that, you know, people complain because it didn't just go exactly the way they wanted it to go. I want it like this. Brother Ram said, when you go to crying and belly aching like that, he said, you know what it makes God want to do? It makes God want to kick you around a little bit more. Look, friend, look. Why was it that every time Israel turned around, there was a problem? Because God was giving them another opportunity. Let's see if this time you won't complain about it. Let's see if this time you'll just look back and see how I've took care of you and trust me for the future. Trust me for the present time. I'll give you another opportunity not to complain and cry and throw a tantrum. That's what he was doing. He kept giving them chances. And they blew every one of them. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. In Hebrews, he said, let our conversations be without covetousness. And to be content with such things as we have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why can't we just be content? Why does it have to go our way? Well, that's not how I want it to be, work out. What I want is, I want it to be like this. Instead of just thanking God for what he gives you and the way he gives you. Brother Branham said, if I'd have taken all the money that's been offered to me, I'd be an independent rich man by today. He said, but I, brother, live like I do and have the favor with God than to have the best movie star home there is settling in Hollywood. I'd rather feel my heart the presence of Christ that I feel now than to have all the riches of this world. You know what the Bible says about money? It's filthy lucre. People lust after money. He said, Jesus came into this world as our example. He came as your example to be content with such as we have. He was born into this world a hard start. He was born in a manger in a barn. You imagine a birth of that type? No lower birth could be, I don't expect, than to be born in a barn. And before he even got here, it was tacked on him of being an illegitimate child. That he was absolutely an illegitimate child. That Joseph was his father and he was going to be born out of holy wedlock. And that he was nothing but just Joseph's illegitimate child. He said, you know, that curse hasn't left today. Many people still actually believe that. And Brother Brandon went on to talk about he was up hunting. And he had been walking and he was getting tired. And a rancher came along and offered him to get up on the horse with him and ride. And he got up on the horse and the rancher asked him, he said, where are you from? He said, Indiana. He said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a ranger. And he said, I'm also a preacher. He said, a preacher? He said, you look like you got more intelligence than to be something like that. And Brother Branham said, well, I like to think that, you know, that I'm intelligent to be that. And he said, well, don't tell me you believe in that virgin birth stuff. He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, that's scientifically impossible. A woman can't have a baby without a man being present. He said, nature tells you that. The flowers and the trees have to have pollen. He said, and you believe that? Brother Bram said, I so most certainly do. He said, how can you believe something like that? He said, because the word says so. You believe it just because the Bible says it? He said, yes. He said, but not only that, Brother Branham said, but I believe it because he lives in me. Amen. And the man said, prove it. And he said, well, I can tell you what I used to be. And I can show you what God has made me now. And that's proof that he's living on the inside of me. And the man said, I don't believe it. And Brother Branham said, well, it's a good thing you live in America where you can have your own opinion. Because there's other countries where you can't have your own opinion openly. And the man just kept testing Brother Branham that way. Brother Branham said, I want you to know I absolutely believe that Jesus is alive. Because Brother Branham asked, said, do you believe there's a God? He said, nope. Brother Branham said, how could all these things be unless there was a God? He said, let me ask you this. He said, you believe that in order for there to be a man, there had to be a father and a mother. He said, yes, sir. He said, then where did the first man come from? He had no father or mother. He said, you can say he come from a tadpole. You can say he came from a frog. You can say he came from an ape. But how did he get here? Somewhere it had to start, and somewhere there wasn't no mother or father. So where did that come from? And he said, they rode on a little bit further. He said, all of a sudden that man, that rancher, pulled his hat down kind of over his eyes. Brother Branham said, I didn't know what he was doing. He said, then I saw him kind of glance over to the side and there was tears rolling out of his eyes. And he looked up into the mountain this rancher did and he said, let me get to where he said it. He said, I lift up my head unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's what the rancher said. And Brother Branham was a little confused because of this whole conversation and now him saying that. And he said, preacher, I got respects to you. He said, there's been a lot of preachers come up here and tell me, he said, but I was looking to find the one man that really believed it was true. And he got saved. Graham said, he said, I don't have much. He said, I got an old backslidden Chevy truck and a 3-year-old Pontiac. And he said, I take the Pontiac when I go out preaching. My wife goes with me. And otherwise, I drive the old backslid Chevy truck. He said, but I am content with such as I have. And he says, and Jesus came here as example to show us to just be content with such as we have. And that is the scripture. Be not covetous in your talk. You know what covetousness is. Always wanting something, well, wanting what that you see. Well, this one has that. Well, this one has that. Well, this one's got work and I don't. Don't let your talk be covetous. Learn to be content with such as you have. We got better than a lot of people. There's a lot of people a lot worse off than we are. We complain because the water bill's too high, but we got running water. That's why you pay the water bill. We pay because the electricity bill goes up in the summer, but you got electricity. You got AC. I can remember when cars didn't have no air conditioning in them. Air conditioning was 270. Two windows down and 70 miles an hour. Getting beat to death. Now, you know, then I remember a time where you could, you know, air conditioning was an option in your cars. It was, you could get a package on the car that had air conditioning in it. Now it's standard. David went and bought a truck here recently and asked him, can I get roll down windows? And the man looked at him and said, no. All windows are electric now. If you want a roll down window, go back to the 70s. What in the world? We got nothing to complain about. So the next time something happens to me or to you, and we get ready to complain, remember this message. And may it burn your hide all over again. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, dear God, for this day that you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, for this wonderful building that we have that you've given us to have service in. Lord, there was a time when this assembly had to meet in a building, Lord, a community building, Lord, and they had to set up and tear down every time. Lord, now we get to set up and we leave it this way. And we come back to it for every service. And Lord, there ain't no weird other things going on in here between times that we meet, but this place is dedicated to you, Lord. Nothing unholy going on and under its roof. Lord, we're thankful for it. Lord, we had to, the loan is on the church for ever so many years. I can't remember how many years it is now, Lord, 5 or something. And every so many years, Lord, it has to be renewed. We renewed it this time and the interest rate's higher and so our payment went up. but we, at least we got a payment and a building. Lord, we got nothing to be ungrateful about. You supply our needs. You take care of us. Lord, such a small church, and you take care of my needs. Lord, help us to be more grateful. Help us, Lord, to think on these things. Bless your people today, Lord. Bless their times and their fellowships and their gatherings today, and bless their dinner, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll go with them. Take care of them, Lord. Watch over them, Lord, while we're gone. Keep them, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us during the times of the pandemic. Lord, there's been many churches that had people die from it. They weren't no better churches. We aren't no better church than they are. And there hadn't been nobody from our midst died during the pandemic. Thank you, Lord, for being so merciful. I think of my dear, precious friends, Lord, that have died during the pandemic. And I miss them greatly, Lord. Feels like it never would be the same without them. I guess it was just their time, Lord. It was their time to go. Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me for the times I've complained. Forgive me for the times, Lord, I acted out. I want to do better. Lord, we got to be examples to our children. Lord, they're there. They got big ears and big eyes. They see and they watch and they hear things. And Lord, sometimes we don't even give a thought to what all they're seeing and hearing. We should never grumble against you, Lord. We should never tempt you, Lord. You said, tempt not the Lord thy God. We ask your blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.